that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're going to get across that wasteland, and we're going to do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
Round two, day two of group play at the Dell Technologies Match Play. We'll tee off here in a little bit. Jordan Spieth, Scottie Scheffler, Rory McIlroy, all winners yesterday. John Rahm, the big upset, the number two player in the world, lost to Ricky Fowler. My man John Rahm could not putt yesterday. The three-putting machine he was. It looked like me. You know, we got a deal when we play golf. Everybody, if you three-putt, everybody's got to put in a dollar.
Ooh.
Cost you a buck if you three-putt. You know, if you're closest to the pin and then you three-putt it, three jacket, you owe everybody some money. Can't three jacket. Eliminate those three putts. So John Rahm could not do that. You're going to win match play if you can't make two putts.
Oh, no, no.
He gave several holes right to Ricky Fowler with bogeys.
You know how I feel about putting and how certain people putt.
Now you're saying Spaniards can't putt?
What? Oy, I didn't say that yet. Now. Come on now.
We're going to talk to John McClain coming up, formerly of the Houston Chronicle, covering the Texans and Oilers for a long, long time. Now he's with a place called Gallery Sports, and we're going to talk to him about the Houston Cougars. John was in Vegas last weekend watching the Cougars and betting, and he says betting on the Cougars. So we'll talk with him about that and the Texans continuing to make signings. And this, the Rodney Terry story has taken another turn. Here's why. Because we started the show telling you that Kirk Bowles of the Austin American Statesman with a story this morning, and in it he reports that Rodney Terry is going to be in demand. Penn State, who just lost their head coach Micah Shrewsbury to Notre Dame, is interested. Also, the Cal Bears would be interested, and I mentioned the tweet from Dick Vitale criticizing Texas for not getting a deal done. And my immediate question and curiosity was where this came from, and now it's pretty clear to me that it came from Rodney Terry's agent to Kirk Bowles, because Kirk Bowles has now tweeted 9 minutes ago about the story, because I'm sure he's being asked about it. But he said, one big factor to consider, Rodney Terry has been told nothing about his chances. CDC has always said he'll decide after the season, but if the answer is sorry, RT, jobs will have been filled, and he's got no idea where he'll be next season. That's a Kirk Bowles tweet. He said the other thing, CDC didn't want to make this a distraction. Sorry, Chris, but it is a mega distraction, according to Kirk Bowles. Men's tennis isn't basketball. So that goes to something we talked about. So that clearly came from the Rodney Terry camp, because he wants some assurances that there's a spot. And Chris Del Conte, obviously, in his mind, hasn't given it to him. Which, again, we can play this however you want, but I guess you can understand Rodney Terry and his camp saying, wait a second, you know, we get to the end of this, we lose, and we meet, and you say, no, we're going a different direction. Well, now there's all the jobs have been
there's
filled.
There's no job, right.
Which is why the word gets out. So this is a pressure push from the Rodney Terry camp to get something, at least an assurance of some kind, I guess, right? Which, to your question was, I'm sure they've talked. Well, Kirk Bowles makes it seem like he's been
told
that they haven't talked.
That just doesn't seem right. That seems strange to me. I mean, you're crossing paths with a guy just about every day.
Well, so Kirk Bowles' tweet 11 minutes ago. One big factor to consider, RT has been told
anything?
Nothing about his chances. CDC has always said he'll decide after the season, but if the answer is sorry, RT, jobs will have been filled, he's got no idea where he'll be next season. So that now makes further sense that the story for Kirk came from, I'm sure, the agent for Rodney Terry or someone close to Rodney saying, look, we need to put some pressure that we need to know where we're going to be. And will it be a distraction tomorrow night? I got to think with this.
Oh, yeah,
veteran,
you don't win that game tomorrow, you'll find out an awful lot.
Yeah, that's interesting. You know, so there's the Kirk Bowles. And I would imagine whoever gave the story to Kirk Bowles was the one feeding stuff to Dick Vitale, who, you get Dick Vitale criticizing you because you haven't gotten a deal done. You know, that's a leverage game. That's what an agent's job is to play the leverage game and get what's right for your client and get some security for your client. Because, look, if you go back to January when this thing all blew up with Chris Beard, or December, you know, if Chris Beard's out, all these coaches are in limbo too. the assistant coaches, and they
It's not just the head coach.
Yeah, I mean, it's a bad timing situation without a doubt. But at the same time, if you're Rodney Terry, what is good timing? I need to know what the plan is here. What are we doing? Where are we? I haven't talked to anybody. So that's the, I guess, the Rodney Terry side of it. They play tomorrow night as the eighth game of the weekend, or of the Thursday and Friday of the 16. So that's the latest. That's the latest, and we'll keep you posted on it. All right, so we'll get more on that. We're going to talk to our buddy Rodney Rodriguez at the bottom of the hour. He's covering the NASCAR race. You know, NASCAR, in addition to the Dell Technologies Match Play, the best players in the world in golf are here. Also over at COTA, Circuit of the Americas, it's NASCAR rolling in for the weekend. We'll talk to Rodney about that at the bottom of the hour. Also, Rodney's going to be out today with a cool event that we can tell you about. But right now, let's go to the Vaqueros Cafe and Cantina Hotline and talk to a very familiar voice to these airwaves and guy you've heard all over the place. Long time with the Houston Chronicle, now doing great work and writing for GallerySports.com, and you hear him on Sports Radio 610 in Houston. He is our friend John McClain. John, how are you?
Guys, I'm doing great. How are you?
We're doing fantastic. John, it's good to talk to you again, my friend.
Thank you.
Hey, listen, as a Houston sports fan, somebody grew up cutting my teeth in Houston, listening. What is GallerySports.com, and where did that come about? I'm glad you're doing that. There's got some great content there, but where did that come about?
I retired from the Chronicle on March 31st. Thought I'd keep doing my talk shows. I do 11 a week in six cities, and I'm on six times a week here on the Texans flagship. Thought I'd do that for a year, and then I'd ride into the sunset. Jim McInvell, Mattress Mac, called me and said he wanted to start a website, and he wanted to hire me as his lead columnist, and we talked a couple of times, and I recommended Richard Justice, a Longhorn retired from the Chronicle, to write for us. Don Lopez, a Nagy, used to write for the Chronicle. He's on Sports Radio 610 every day. We're the three columnists, and I write four times a week. We all do a separate video with Mac, and as Mac says on all of his furniture ads, if you buy the furniture today, it's delivered to your home tonight, free, free, free. And GallerySports.com is free, free, free. There's no paywall. We cover every team in Texas, including the Longhorns. And right now, we're covering that guy, the NCAA tournament. We got, like, counting videographers, like five people on it.
That is cool. Mattress Mac, Jim McInvell with a new investment, and it's a great website, especially if you're a fan of Houston sports and Houston great sports writing there with John. John, you said you spent some days in Vegas watching the first round and first weekend of the March Madness tournament. How'd you do, first and foremost? And let me ask you, how good is Houston? I mean, you've seen them up close. You were there for the Fi Slam Ajama days. Kelvin Sampson seems to have this group back to that level. Is this a team that can win the whole thing in their home, in their backyard?
Last year, Mattress Mac bet on Kansas to win the tournament, made $15 million. This year, he bet on the Cougars. And he has promotions on furniture. If you buy $5,000 worth and they win, you get it free, free, free. And he won $75 million on the Astros, winning the World Series. And so he spent a long time paying people back because they had bought, I think, $30 million worth of furniture. So he doesn't lose, but because it's a Cougar thing, and we cover it so much, as does the Houston Chronicle and all outlets, people are fired up about it. It's the best Cougars team we've seen since Five Slam Ajama, the greatest team to never win a championship with Hakeem Olajuwon and Clyde Drexler under the late Guy V. Lewis. They'll never have a team that talented. But this one's well-coached. They're disciplined. They've overcome injuries. And first of all, if the Aggies hadn't choked like dogs, we could have had the Aggies and Longhorns. Now, I hate the bracket. I wish the Longhorns and Cougars were on the opposite sides so they could play in Houston, possibly for the championship. But if they both win, Texas, of course, over Xavier, Houston over Miami, then they'll get to play Sunday to go to the Final Four. So it's not just people fired up about the Cougars. You guys know how many Longhorns are in this area. And so everybody's pulling for those teams to win and be able to play to go to the Final Four. And both of them, I watched Texas all through the tournament because I went to Baylor, and Baylor blew it, of course. But I want the Texas teams to win no matter what the sport is. I'm a native Texan from Waco. If it's not Baylor, A&M, Texas, Houston, I don't care. But so I hope one of these teams goes on to win the national championship.
Now, John, with this Houston team, I mean, with Sasser being banged up, and, you know, I still think this is a team that is coached so well and has so many good athletes, so whether it's Sasser or one of the other guards. I mean, they've got at least three guards on this team that can still do an awful lot of damage. And the guys who aren't superstars in there are great athletes, and they're so well coached, you know, by Coach Sampson. I just think they're really, really – it's a well-coached team, offense, defense. I mean, they shoot great free throws. I think it's a well-rounded team, even without one star.
I thought at the way they barely beat Northern Kentucky, they had Sasser was injured, Jamal Shedd, their point guard, was injured. But
right.
They both came back. They were down by 10 to Auburn in a predominantly Auburn crowd in Birmingham. And then they blew them out in the second half, and that's more like what they were during the regular season and their tournament. And one of the reasons Mattress Mack gave $1 million NIL boatload of money to Kelvin Sampson and the basketball team is because Mattress Mack went to Texas. He's got an ad placed on the scoreboard during games, and he's got his gallery furniture banner there. But he gave that $1 million to Kelvin Sampson's team because he loves how disciplined they are, the way they play, the way they're smart, the way they're just well coached, and he made sure all of them's families got to go watch the tournament, took them all to dinner one night. So he's behind them, and he can't lose, really. Even if he loses the Cougars and it costs him a bet, he's still going to make money on furniture sales, and he's still got a chance with his Longhorns.
He is John McClain, now with GallerySports.com. As you said, a project of Jim McInville, Mattress Mack, and doing some great stuff there. John, the Texans, let's shift gears here because we know the basketball starts again tonight. The Longhorns and the Cougars will play tomorrow night, and the winners will meet on Sunday. But the Texans have been busy. They had a lot of money to spend in free agency. Nick Caserio now with D'Amico Ryans in as the head coach. They're about ready to move forward, it feels like, after two or three just really dreadful years. What have you made of the signings Nick Caserio has made along with D'Amico Ryans to bolster this team? What's your grade report card for Nick Caserio this offseason so far?
First of all, there's been so much negativity around this organization going back after the 2019 season when they won the division for the fourth time in 5 years, beat Buffalo in the playoffs, led Kansas City 24-0 before they choked that lead and went down the toilet under O'Brien. And trading DeAndre Hopkins, since that trade, it's been nothing but negativity. They finally got rid of Jack Easterby from their front office. They hired D'Amico Ryans, who everybody, fans, media, had him at the top of the list. This was his dream job. He played here. His wife, Samir, they got married here while he played for the Eagles. They're building a home here. Now they're going to build a bigger home here. Huh. And they also started a home for wayward kids during the pandemic here. So he turned down an interview opportunity with Carolina. He canceled them with Indy and Arizona, and he interviewed with Denver the day before Houston. And he is so happy, and he has inspired fans, everybody, because he's been great when he's talked. And then Nick Caserio, that's what I'll say on personnel, he's given him probably at least six new starters, a really good mentor in Case Keenum for the second overall pick. And people are fired up right now. And not that they're going to win the AFC South, but they might be better. Lovie Smith did a terrible job last year by letting Pep Hamilton run his offense. That's why he got fired. Year before, David Culley was in way over his head. They gave Ryans a six-year contract. And it's the first time that this franchise has had anything positive since they beat Buffalo in that wild card game in January of 2020.
Been a long time. Six starters. Dalton Schultz, the former Cowboys, now in Houston. Devin Singletary. And I just saw this morning that they've signed the veteran linebacker Denzel Perryman to a one-year contract. So they're bolstering with veteran players. Jimmy Ward in the secondary from that San Francisco defense that was so good last year. Trying to bring in some experience to go with all the youth they're going to have, John McClain, because with all these draft picks, two in the top 12, there's going to be a lot of youth. So you need some veteran players. What do you think with the draft? We saw C.J. Stroud have his pro day yesterday. Carolina now has the number one pick, and they had 14 representatives there in Columbus to watch C.J. throw. They have the number one pick. Houston picks two. How do you think that shakes out come April?
I think that Carolina is going to take Stroud. I think they knew they were going to take Stroud when they made that trade. They're trying to make the Texans think they may take Bryce Young, hoping the Texans will give them a pick to swap spots. Chicago GM told Peter King he tried to get the Texans to trade, and then he was going to trade down a second time because Casario wouldn't do it. They seem they'd be like they'd be happy with both quarterbacks. Now, pro days are a total waste of time. In other words, the only way they're give you any information is if a guy didn't work out at the combine. I'm not talking about throwing. All I got to do is go back and watch the tape, and you know Bryce Young can make every throw. The Longhorns found that out the hard way. And the fans, ever since Alabama nipped the Longhorns in September, people here wanted Bryce Young to be their quarterback. And Frank Reich, every quarterback he's had as a starter has been, a regular starter, has been at least 6'4". And all going back to San Diego, Philadelphia, Indianapolis, then all of a sudden he's making people think they traded all that compensation to get a 5'10 and 1'8 quarterback. I don't think so. I think they're taking Stroud. I think all you got to do is go on the tape and watch these guys throwing against air with no pressure and no receivers being covered. And you've orchestrated this for weeks with your receivers. It's kind of a waste of time, but people just ooh and ah over it. And I understand it is part of the process, and people are getting hyped up at this time of year. But I think they'll take Young second. I think they'll take a pass rusher like Lucas Van Ness of Iowa, the Miles Murphy of Clemson, Noah Smith of Georgia. They need help in their defensive line, especially as an edge rusher. And then they have five of the top 73 picks, two in the third round. They need a receiver. Good value for wide receiver starts in the second round.
John, let me ask you this about Jimbo Fisher down at Texas A&M. How long will it be? How long does Texas A&M or Jimbo Fisher have before that whole buyout thing is going to be who cares? And we got to make a change. I mean, I know money, that kind of money is crazy, but how many years do you get before that just gets to be old with the alums at Texas A&M?
Guys, you know and I know because I started watching college football in 1960 when I was 8 years old, and money means nothing to the Longhorns and Aggies.
Right.
They got plenty of alums out there. If they're unhappy, they'll give them the money to accomplish something. And when Jimbo hired Bobby Petrino, I thought he was just asking for trouble. I thought he should go out and get one of these younger, up-to-date, offensive-minded coaches who will come in. But the problem with Jimbo is he's going to want a coach. You know, he's used to calling the plays, and if he tries to interfere with Petrino, they could have problems. And so I think this could be the beginning of the end. I don't know if it'd be after this season. I'll guarantee you, every Aggie fan I know wishes they were still in the Big 12. It's like the Longhorns. Every Longhorn fan I know, they don't want to go to the SEC. They can't even dominate the Big 12. So I think the Longhorns will find out about the Aggies. It's a hell of a lot harder playing over there than it is here. And I think Jimbo could be gone after this season. There were a lot of rumblings. Now, I don't know if they'll be as bad as they were last season. I don't know enough about it. I know they had more guys in the transfer portal, 23, than any team in the country. And when you recruit all those five-star athletes and they're not playing,
right,
then they're gone. He had discipline problems, you know, guys smoking pot in the locker room, and just things that don't happen in a lot of other schools.
No question about it. Now, the opening press conference of spring was kind of awkward when people asked about who's calling plays and all that went down with Bobby Petrino. And that is going to be an interesting storyline. And the Longhorns are headed there after this season in football, which is pretty exciting. John McClain, GallerySports.com. Check out that website if you love good stories on the Astros and the Texans and all that's going on in Houston with John McClain, Richard Justice, John Lopez, longtime fixtures in the Houston area. John, thanks so much. Appreciate you doing it. And hopefully we're talking maybe next week about a Final Four with either Houston or Texas.
Appreciate it, John. Thank you so much.
Guys, it's my pleasure. Thank you, and good luck to the Horns against Xavier.
Xavier tomorrow night. There you go. I like that. So that's interesting because you, too, agree with John that they're going to take C.J. Stroud,
yes,
the Carolina Panthers, and that's been the thought when they traded with the Bears to go from 9-1 that they wanted Stroud. Saw him at the combine. Remember that trade came down right after the Indianapolis scouting combine, and they had seen him throw, and they make the move. It is interesting that because of all along, John and others who cover the Texans have said that the Texans covet Bryce Young, that Nick Caserio wants Bryce Young to be his quarterback. So to your point, Buck, even though they coughed up the number one pick on that Week 17 game or Week 18 game, they still may end up with who they want. But I liked it was interesting that John said that the Carolina Panthers are playing the game, right? They're trying to convince Houston that they might take Bryce Young, which would force Houston to maybe give up a draft pick to swap spots with them to secure who they want. Nick Caserio is apparently not going to buy it, but that is interesting. Also, he says with the 12th pick, as Houston has the second pick and the Browns pick at 12 from the Deshaun Watson trade, he says pass rusher, which, again, premium positions in football right now are quarterback and pass rush. So if you can get both in one draft, and the name he mentioned, Lucas Van Ness from Iowa, Buck, he's some people say he's kind of a J.J. Watt starter kit if you see him on film. Also, there's a kid, Nolan Smith, is the one to watch, too. I would do if I'm a Texans fan. Nolan Smith is the kid out of Georgia who didn't play this year. But remember, he went to the combine, ran 4.39. He is a guy that could, and most people believe he's moved himself with his pro day workout and what he's done showing his healthy Nolan Smith that he could move into the top 10, Houston drafting just outside of it. I also like wide receiver there at 12, a Jackson Smith and Jigba type player who had his pro day yesterday.
Yeah, I definitely don't agree with John that Aggies wanted to stay in the Big 12. They wanted out of this. Huh? They wanted the hell out of here so quick.
Yeah, well, he says all his Aggie friends, but I would agree. If you took a vote of Aggie fans, they're happy to be in the SEC.
Absolutely.
But you would also take the vote and say, are you happy with Jimbo Fisher? And I think most of them would say right now, hell no.
If we could buy it out, and we can, how long is that going to last before we do?
Can I just say that we talked about Jimbo Fisher's comments, and we played his comment about Bobby Petrino. I went back and watched that entire 16-minute press conference and availability. Buck, it was so awkward. The whole thing. All he wanted to talk about was fundamentals. He was thin-skinned. And again, this is your friendly hometown media.
And the season hadn't even started.
This is College Station. This is like the Houston Chronicle, the College Station Eagle. I mean, this is not like
when the USA Today wasn't there and everybody else.
This is not the New York Times that's grilling you. This was the friendly media. And it was like, whoa. Dude, Jimbo, it's day one of spring practice. Can we be optimistic about some things?
You're still going to get paid, Jimbo. Everything's good.
Dude, he just
Your check will stay the same.
It was surly. It was on edge. It was evasive. It was weird. It was really, really weird, I felt. But, you know, he didn't want any part. Like, you had to know. Everybody wanted to know about the Bobby Petrino hire. He didn't want any part of talking about it.
How did he think they were not going to ask that question?
Of course he knew. That was a weird deal. That was really, really odd. But thank you to John McClain, GallerySports.com. Now, we come back, in addition to, as we said, the best golfers in the world in Austin, Texas, the NASCAR circuit is rolling into the ATX. Rodney from Revved Up ATX will help us with the weekend, how it's going to play out, and where he'll be. And you can go meet Rodney today. We'll get you details on that coming next.
Mornings with Bucky and Aaron.
And make sure you're getting over to hornfm.com. Everything you need right there. Of course, in addition to the bracket contest that's going on, you can check your brackets. I'm sitting 4 points out of first place, my friends. 4 points out of first place. I don't think I can win the TV, though.
No.
Can't happen. But also, if you click on the Golf Tour of Central Texas link, powered by Callahan's General Store, you can see our new video. It's up, and we shine the spotlight rightfully in the month of March on Austin Country Club. Spent an afternoon out there with our friend, our pro, Omar Uresti. He is Austin Golf. Had a great time with Aaron Schielich, the head golf professional there at Austin Country Club. Take a look at the video. It's pretty cool stuff. If you've never been out there at ACC, it's a good peek behind the scene. You'll also learn that ACC was founded in 1899, Buck, and the original was Hancock, the Hancock Nine-Hole Course. That was the original ACC. The greatest golf instructor ever lived, Harvey Penick, was a part of the Austin Country Club for a long, long time. Of course, then it moved over to a Riverside location, and then in 1984, it moved over to the Davenport Westlake location where it is now. But it's a great golf course. You can check it all out. It's all powered by our friends at Callahan's General Store. It's there and up and ready to go at hornfm.com. Have a look. And you can see all of the courses we've featured on our tour with the Munis, Mo Willie, and Lions. We've been to out to Horseshoe Bay, Buck, with Slick Rock and Marble out there in Marble Falls. We've been to UT Club, which was our first one, which was really cool. And we've got more to come. But this month we are at ACC, much like the 64 best players in the world who are playing out there right now, Austin Country Club. Hey, another big event coming up this weekend out at COTA. And let's go to the Vaqueros hotline. This guy's going to be out and about today. And he's going to be out at COTA all weekend. Here's our man Rodney Rodriguez, Mr. Racing, Mr. Revved Up Racing. Rodney, how are you?
I'm doing well, guys. How are you guys doing this balmy morning? My goodness.
A little muggy out there.
Fantastic. Rodney, tell us, what was your first car that you can remember of value to you, sentimental value to you, your first car?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
First car I ever had, Buck, was a 1975 Chevy Monza Fastback.
Oh.
And what was so cool about that car was those were very rare that you would find one with a V8. And somehow my dad found one, had a 305 in it. And, man, I will tell you what, he souped that thing up. I mean, he welded the gears together, you know. I mean, he did all the racing tricks to it. And, man, that was such a sweet, you know. Back in the day, you know, 4-speed. I mean, it was unbelievable what a car would do.
Did you have room to get your arm around her on the other side? I mean, was there room, or is it just so jacked up? Was it a comfortable? Was the seating comfortable? Or you didn't care about any of that?
Well, I will say the back seat did fold down.
There you go.
Hey now.
Fold down. What?
But
party in the back.
I can tell you, man. Yeah, there it is. If it's a rockin', don't come a knockin'. What do you say? But I tell you, man, that thing, oh my goodness, it was so sweet. I mean, that's you would speed shift in that thing. I mean, I could shift that thing without using the clutch. I mean, it was great.
Wow.
It was great.
I never heard of a Monza. How many models of Monza did they make? M-O-N-Z-A. I've heard of the
M-O-N-Z-A.
Chevy Impala.
I think they made them up until about 1980. I think they manufactured that one.
Okay.
It turned into a coupe at one point. But the Fastback, man, that thing was just, oh, my goodness. So many great memories
awesome.
In that car.
Oh, I bet.
You ever had the El Camino?
I loved it.
You ever had the Camino with the turf in the back? You know what I'm talking about? That car truck?
My uncle had an El Camino, man. And I tell you what, he had that thing souped up too, man. You know, glass pack mufflers and all this stuff.
Wow.
You could hear it coming from a mile away, man.
That is awesome.
They don't make cars like that anymore.
No,
guys.
They don't.
Thank goodness. There were some clunkers back then, too. Remember the old Cutlass, Rodney? Because we're talking about this because GM has announced that the Camaro brand is no longer, at least for now. They're not going to be making the Camaro. Been making it since 1966. Yeah. That led us into a conversation about muscle cars and then first cars, and it's been fun. So the Monza, I've never heard of that. That's pretty cool. Hey, Rodney, speaking of muscle cars, they're bringing them NASCAR. This is year three of NASCAR at COTA, is that right? Or am I wrong on that? Two or three or four?
The third year, we had the monsoon in year number one.
Yes,
and then last year we had heat, which I think we're going to have again because it's supposed to be 80 on Sunday. But that's okay; that's comfortable. But third year, second year with the next gen car, and I think that this year is going to be very interesting because they have made changes on this car to affect the downforce and so forth to make it more to where the driver has to race the car a little bit harder. Because, you know, with this brand new car, it's single source parts. You can't get in and you're not supposed to get in and do a lot of modifications and so forth and so on. So they've made some changes to this car to try to enhance the racing a little bit. And I think that's what's really going to factor in, to the weekend. You know, it's a road course and short track package. And honestly, they don't usually get practice, but they're supposed to get just under an hour practice session tomorrow. To work, you know, to try to get a feel for some of these changes that they were able to make or modifications that they were able to make. And, man, just the race fan in me wishes that practice session would get rained out. I mean, I'd like to see them hit the track with no practice.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
Me, that'd
wow.
be great. But, yeah, I'd love to see that.
That'd be
I'd
cool.
That. Rodney, how are the drivers feeling about COTA now? I mean, in year number three, I mean, are there any complaints about it, but are they kind of settled into this track and the way it's set up for them?
Everything that I've heard, you know, they really like it as a destination spot.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they really enjoy coming to Austin because it's very unique. I mean, this race course is like no other. I mean, there are, you know, when this was built, you know, back when Tavo Hellman, you know, drew this thing up and had this idea, he took little bits and pieces of racetracks that he had visited and, you know, put them all into one place out in southeast Travis County. And, you know, 3.41 miles in 20 turns. I mean, the elevation changes are the one thing that the drivers really, you know, talk about with, I mean, because it is, I mean, with the steep hills and then the declines and so forth. It's something that really intrigues them. And, I mean, you just look at the field for Sunday. I mean, you've got two Formula One world champions in this race, with Kimi Raikkonen and Jenson Button. So those guys are coming over to drive stock cars. Jimmy Johnson is coming back. Connor Daly, a very accomplished road racer as well, will be with the Mud team. And Jordan Taylor, three-time IMSA GT sports car champion, is going to be behind the wheel of the number nine for Chase Elliott while he's still on the mend. So that tells you right there the diversity in this field and the want to race here in Austin.
Wow, cool. Jimmy Johnson back, huh?
Jimmy's back. Can't get rid of him. I was talking to somebody a couple of weeks ago on Revved Up. We had one of our insiders on, and it was like, you know, the pandemic comes along, Jimmy's going to walk away, go do something else, go do Indy cars. But here we are in 2023, and Kevin Harvick's riding off into the sunset, and here comes Jimmy Johnson back in again. So it's like, you know, two steps forward, three steps back, whatever that country song is. But I will tell you guys, Jimmy Johnson being in NASCAR, it's where he belongs. If he's going to be racing, of course, now he's a team owner there with the Richard Petty Group. So the fact that he's back in is something that's very good for the sport. I mean, that's one of the ambassadors.
No question. Needs big names. And they'll be out at COTA this weekend. We have it on special authority, too, Rodney, that Michael Waltrip and Kyle Larson are playing golf today with a friend of ours. So just know that. We got some scoop for you, too. And it's one of those swanky country clubs out there, the new one. But, hey, you know, we know some things, too. Hey, so it starts on Friday with FIVO Friday, then the Pit Boss 250 on Saturday, and then the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix, which is the main event on Sunday out at Circuit of the Americas. Rodney, you guys are going to have some extra coverage out there this weekend. I want to hear about that. But first, you're going to be out today with, you know, a personal appearance, which I think is very cool for you, Rodney. You're going to be out with the Four Loko race team and their driver, Ryan Ellis. You're going to be at, and you can tell them, where are you going to be today? The Speedy Stop on East Palmer Lane and Harris Branch Parkway, doing some real live race talk.
Yeah, we'll be out at the Speedy Stop. My wife is like, you know, if you're going to go out and do an appearance, it's only fitting that you go to a gas station when I look at your credit
there
card
you go.
All the time. So. But, you know, the address is 5725 East Palmer Lane. It says Manor, you know, but it's right there on that Austin, you know, Manor line or whatever. It's very, very convenient right there. Honestly, guys, I mean, I think that's a great spot. I mean, because right there along that Palmer Lane 290 corridor, you've got a lot of race fans that may hit Cotton Bowl Speedway, you know, out that way. So I think it's a great spot for folks to come on out. And, you know, with the Four Loko race team there, Ryan Ellis is scheduled to be with us. He drives the number 43 Camaro, ironically Camaro, on the Xfinity Series. And that's another one of those guys where his background is a lot of road racing. So, I mean, that could be a guy that would sneak up on people. But yeah, they're at Speedy Stop. I mean, he'll be there, you know, autograph posters, koozies. I think I saw there's a pair of tickets. I hope I'm not speaking out of line right there. I'm not exactly sure who has those. But it'll be a cool time to come on out and just stop in and let's talk some racing, because that's really what it is. I mean, a lot of the intrigue about stock car racing or any racing in general is just kind of the bench racing. You know, you sit around, just talk, and a lot of this year has been, it's the off the track stuff, you know, with the big fines that Hendrick Motorsports had to pay for.
That was huge.
Modifying some, that's a lot of money. And that's, you know, that brings up so much of this year has been the off the track with modifying those parts that Hendrick is saying, you know, well, NASCAR doesn't have a very good grip on what they're doing here because we're modifying. They say it's okay. And boom, here we are $400,000 later. And so forth. And then with Denny Hamlin, you know, that goes off and he's, you know, we all get on podcasts. I know, E, you're on a podcast now. So we get on the podcast and we let stuff fly. And Denny Hamlin talks about intentionally trying to wreck Ross Chastain And boom, he gets a fine. So, I mean, a lot of it's been off the track, but I think that this is the race that's going to bring it full circle because it's been a little mundane the last few weeks. I think Coda's going to be the one to wake up the season.
That's awesome. Hey, Roddy, let me ask you one quick thing before I let you go. The California scene for NASCAR, they got to have something out in California. That deal at the Coliseum, I mean, that's nice for TV and nice for show, but, I mean, that's not the real feel for NASCAR, is it really?
You know, that the first year, Buck, I mean, when they did it last year, yes, great. Uh-huh. I mean, very good thing. You know, the history of that place, I was talking about this a couple of weeks ago, that Coliseum originally was a racetrack, you know, back prior to World War II, I think it was. That's what they used to run there. And then in the 40s, they went in and, you know, modified it to become what it was, and they continued to race in there. But it's just not – you did it once. It was great. Go somewhere else. That race is an exhibition race.
But they got to have a presence in California, right, somewhere that's big time?
Well, and that's the thing, you know, with the track there in Fontana – it's going to be off of the schedule here for a couple of years with a reconfiguration that's happening there. I don't know if it's even going to come back or not, but that's a very important part, a very important market for NASCAR because the history in California is amazing.
Right.
You know, Riverside and Ontario and all of these, you know, great racetracks that they have to have a foothold there. You have to go out and you have to chase that audience, but then
that land costs a lot of money out there, Rodney. There's a lot to be had out there.
It's getting more and more valuable, Buck, every one of these racetracks. And that's where everybody that has negative things to say about Texas Motor Speedway and so forth, I'm like, you better watch what you wish for when you swear that track off because you're going to drive out 114 one day and that place is going to be gone. And
Wow. And
that's what people need to think about that.
Mm. Of course, you mentioned Jimmy Johnson. He's a Californian. A lot of drivers come from that state. And obviously, they'll be here. It is the Echo Park the main event, the Echo Park Automotive Grand Prix. It's 2:30 on Sunday. I know, Rodney, you guys will have your normal revved up ATX show on Saturday at 11, and then extra coverage on noon on Saturday. And Rodney will be out today, as we said, at the Speedy Stop, East Palmer Lane, Harris Branch Parkway, with the 4 Loco race team and their driver, Ryan Ellis. So get on out there, meet Rodney, meet Ryan, and have some fun. Be listening this Saturday and Sunday for bonus coverage of revved up ATX with Rodney. Rodney, thanks for doing it, my friend.
Thank you, Rodney.
You got it, guys. Yeah, this afternoon it's 4 Loco and the 1 Loco. Here we go.
There you go. 3-6. 3-6.
Thanks,
at the
buddy.
Speedy Stop, East Palmer Lane. We'll come back. We'll wrap things up, reset our top stories, and get you ready for Light the Tower here on B&E.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
All night long. You'll be watching basketball all night long, golf all day, basketball all night. 4 games tonight. Sweet 16 action. Starts with Michigan State and Kansas State. That is at Madison Square Garden. Of course, Marquise Noel, the fabulous point guard of K-State, is from Harlem right there in Manhattan. He'll be on display. You know, his Twitter handle is at Mr. New York City. So he's going to be balling out in front of his home fans for the K-State Wildcats against Michigan State, Arkansas-UConn tonight, Florida Atlantic-Tennessee, and Gonzaga-UCLA, and possibly the game of the night tonight. Those are fun. Longhorns, of course, play tomorrow night. Here's a text from our buddy CB. It says, if Texas was trying to avoid distractions with Rodney Terry, they can't any longer. Well, that's been the story from the start of the show this morning with the reports that Penn State and Cal interested in Rodney Terry's services as a head coach, which led to our conversations about where that came from. Pretty clear that whoever represents Rodney Terry wants that news out there. People are going to be bucking off Kirk Bowles for reporting it, but, you know, that's what...
Somebody wants it there.
Kirk Bowles didn't go digging for that. Someone fed him. Nothing against Kirk, because he's out there covering the golf at ACC, but he was covering golf at Austin Country Club. He wasn't digging for stories on Rodney Terry, and that story came out. That tells you that the Rodney Terry camp wanted that story out, because according to Kirk, Rodney hasn't heard anything from CDC on his future, and he'd like to know what's going on because all the jobs are filling up around the country right now, and if he's not going to be the head coach of Texas, he'd like to be working next year. So, but yes, that's
and his staff would like to be working too.
Yeah, I mean, they exactly. So, and I understand CDC holding off and waiting until the season's over because it's not over yet. Same time, if you're looking to avoid distraction, it's now back out there, and I'm sure it'll be a news story now moving forward, unfortunately. But yeah, that was intentional.
Oh, they always are intentional.
That's why I said at 6 a.m.
Nobody hide. That's not.
I said it's curious. Why would this come out today?
Yeah.
And that's exactly. I mean, I figured it came from that side. It wouldn't come from Texas' side of this thing. That was coming from the Rodney Terry camp. So that story will be out there. Craig Way is in Kansas City with the basketball team. He'll be broadcasting Light the Tower coming up live. He's got an interview with Christian Bishop, the Longhorn senior forward. So that's part of the Light the Tower. So Jeff Howe not on the show today. He's traveling to Kansas City to be there for the Sweet 16 tomorrow night. Buck, enjoy the games.
All right, man. I will see you on Monday.
Yeah, I'm going to be out tomorrow. I'm having, at 7 a.m. tomorrow, Buck, I'm having the cataract procedure.
Get that done, man. Good luck with that.
Get this smudge off my eye. Yeah. Wish me luck.
Back on the prayer list. Another Hogan on the prayer list
I'll
now.
I'll be okay, but I just need to get this cataract dealt
absolutely
with in my right
get it fixed,
eye.
Buddy.
So I'll be back on Monday. You guys have a great weekend. Ty will be here. You got Zay coming in tomorrow?
I got Zay. It'll be a lot of basketball chatter.
Hoops. Also, Zay will be on with Chad today at noon. Of course, noon to 3. Then it's Ball Don't Lie this afternoon. Watch the basketball. We'll
there
be talking about it tomorrow at 6 a.m. If you missed any part of our show, any of the great guests, David Pierce was with us, Longhorn baseball coach, hornfm.com for the podcast.